the professional aviation safety specialists comment on the state of the FAA and general aviation. I'm Paul Platt, and this is Aero News. Welcome into our Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. The Professional Aviation Safety Specialists is the union representing the FAA and Department of Defense employees who are responsible for installing, testing, maintaining, and repairing the infrastructure behind the air traffic control system. You'll be hearing about these 11,000 employees more in days to come, especially in regard to ATC modernization. Unfortunately, the FAA's relationship with past members is coming to resemble the agency's relationship with the Air Traffic Controllers Union. At AOPA Expo 2007 in Hartford, Connecticut, some representatives of PASS talked with ANN's Jim Campbell about these issues for Aero TV. You'll be hearing from PASS National Assistant Kathleen Carpenter, National Legislative Committee Chair Mark Dunlap, and New Haven PASS Representative Joe LeFevre.
What do we, the general aviation and the rest of the aviation community, not know about PASS? What do we need to know as a result?
Basically, PASS represents FAA employees. We're the technicians that maintain, certify, and repair navigational aids, communications, automation, surveillance, used at general aviation airports today across the country.
You obviously had something that we needed to know. There are things that are of great concern to you, and we're at a time right now where between the FAA and the way the FAA and the rest of the community is trying to deal with each other and not necessarily in the friendliest of terms, you folks are stuck in the middle of a number of issues. What might some of those issues be?
Well, I think our major issue today is the fact that the FAA has shut the door on us. It used to be several years ago where we used to have a level of involvement that we do not enjoy today. They used to want to hear from the technical specialist about their programs. We used to sit on their committees and help them with their analysis and surveys. Today, they don't want to have anything to do with either unions, either professional airway system specialist or NACA, for that matter. In that fact, we have no say in any of the decisions they're making today. And one thing in particular that they're doing today is promoting their reliability-centered maintenance or event-based certification, which is a fix-on-fail approach. And this would affect mostly general aviation airports. Over the course of the last year or two, they have been continuing to delay restoration at general aviation airports, including pulling funding for restoration of certain facilities. So they're allowed to operate until they deteriorate to a point where they can no longer be repaired. Just 3 weeks ago, PASS actually did testify to Congress about the current situation on the NAS infrastructure. We produced pictures from across the nation of ILS buildings with holes in the floor, mold growing on the walls. We have plastic over equipment protecting it from the rainfall because of roof leaks. All these situations the FAA has been aware of at these general aviation airports for a number of years, but yet they are not putting the funding towards fixing these legacy systems.
Mark, there are those on the outside will say that what you're trying to do is protect your jobs and protect your turf. But at the same time, I see a tremendous amount of passion in the communications that we get from your members at Aero News. It's not these are the items that concern us, or we fly too, or you know, my friends who are in general aviation are being threatened by this. Is this a turf war, or is this pride and professionalism on your part?
Well, I mean, obviously the correct answer would be pride and professionalism on our part. And I think most of our people do feel that way. In fact, I think we're really the glue that's been holding the whole system together. If you look at the problems, I don't know if your membership is aware of the Harris FAA Telecommunications Infrastructure, FTI program. They won a large contract to basically provide all the telecommunications services that provide the radar and the communications data between remote facilities and our centers where we have air traffic controllers and towers. And that hasn't been going very well either. There was just a recent outage in Memphis that caused 555 delays nationwide.
The obvious domino effect that occurs thereafter.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I've worked with employees out in Chicago where there were problems there, and it caused over 100 delays. Mm-hmm. Of course, anything happens in O'Hare, and there's ripple effects all across the country. But there's, you know, it's just one example after another where they're privatizing bits and pieces of the whole NAS infrastructure, and our people are being tasked to try and hold it all together.
How does the general aviation community react to this? What can people out there who use this system do to make sure that the system starts responding not only to their needs now, but their needs for the future?
It's funny you should mention that, because I was just talking to a local gentleman out of, well, local to Pennsylvania, and he's having a continuous service problem out there. And the number one advice that I can give to every pilot out there, whether you're general aviation or commercial, if you see problems with the system, you need to contact your local congressman, you need to contact your senators, tell them your issues, put the pressure on them. You need to be involved and active. It's a phone call, it could be an office visit, it can be an email, but we really need to get the word out there, because the system is degrading. I think every pilot out there can see it, every pilot has felt it, and it's going further.
We'll be back for more with the representatives of the Professional Aviation Safety Specialists in a moment. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is general aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and no ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to this Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Platt. ANN's Jim Campbell is talking with representatives of the Professional Aviation Safety Specialists, or PASS, in a conversation recorded during AOPA Expo 2007 in Hartford, Connecticut. Included in the group are PASS National Assistant Kathleen Carpenter, National Legislative Committee Chair Mark Dunlap, and New Haven PASS Representative Joe LaFaber. So, what is this group's take on the debate over user fees on general aviation? Here's Mark Dunlap.
Well, we think the FAA has been manufacturing a financial crisis. This whole user fee issue and all that just seems to be a way for them to try to generate income away from Congress, so they can operate as they see fit without having any real oversight. And that really concerns us, and I think it should concern the general aviation industry as well. There was a GAO report that said the FAA actually has enough money to operate the system. But if you see,
that's been very well documented, actually, by a number of outside agencies.
Yep.
So the general aviation community that has been asked to pay more for the services that we're getting, and yet we're finding out that the services are being withheld in part through allowing the services to deteriorate and not listening to the folks who operate those systems.
Exactly. In fact, every time we try to bring up our issues and concerns, basically we're just excluded from meetings, and that's happening on a daily basis. It is my job as the PASS National Assistant to actually perform negotiations at the national level, and there's even some people that I've been dealing with that see that this approach is not working. However, general aviation really needs to understand the facilities that they're left to operate, and basically all the attention is being paid to 34 major airports that the FAA calls the OEP airports. Mm-hmm. And basically, if there's not commercial traffic, the FAA doesn't care. I hate to say it, but that's the way it's looking.
You're not the first organization we've heard that from. There's a robbing Peter to pay Paul mentality, but the problem is that once one section deteriorates, it's awfully hard to recover, isn't it?
It is, and I think that's kind of, I like to liken it to the game Jenga. If you've ever played Jenga, it's where you stack up the blocks.
Uh-oh, okay.
And you take away a block from each level for each turn. And at one point, the system's going to come crashing down. And we're close to that point. They've got it about halfway out, and we're on shaky ground right now. General aviation is not where they're spending the money. They're spending the money on commercial aviation airports right now. But there's even commercially, they're not spending the money that Congress has allocated to them. And again, the testimony that we did 3 weeks ago with Congress pointed that fact out, that the agency did not spend the money that Congress actually was able to allocate to them. So this is by design. There is a reason they're doing it. As far as I'm concerned, I'm also a VFR pilot. I feel that they're trying to squeeze general aviation out of the NAS so that they're no longer responsible for general aviation aircraft, much like in Eurocontrol or NAV Canada. It's going to be very difficult to fly in the United States over the next few years.
I work at the flight service in Bridgeport, and I remember an incident where they, back in February, they waited till late in the evening to do a planned rollover of the service from the Bridgeport Flight Service, which runs through the Ashburn hub, and they simulated a power outage, I assume it was something along those lines, to roll over the service into Fort Worth. At that time, Fort Worth took over any calls coming in from the East Coast, and several calls came in concerning the Washington, D.C. ATIS area, which has got a lot of flight restrictions in that area. And unfortunately, information coming out of Fort Worth to general aviation was erroneous and caused several issues because the general aviation pilots were getting erroneous data from personnel at Lockheed Martin who were not familiar, obviously, with what the ATIS requirements were in Washington, D.C. To bring it to even a more simple, basic line, let's say, of a problem, I personally attempted to call the Ashburn hub with an internal number that I have access to, not general aviation, to determine whether a facility at Bridgeport was actually NOTAMed out of service prior to giving a certification exam to another FAA employee. It had never been NOTAMed out. It took me over 40 minutes to get through, and I never was able to. I contacted my local tower to find out from them if they had received a notice of a NOTAM for that facility. They had not. In the long run, it had never been NOTAMed out, even though we were given a release by the New York TRACON. There's a lot of communications problem with Ashburn. I think the reality of trying to take multiple flight service stations who are very knowledgeable about local weather, local area, and centralize them into central hubs is going to not work very well. And in my personal opinion, 5-7 years down the road, the 16 legacies that are left will be gone, and Lockheed will be trying to run the entire country from three hubs. I don't see it happening.
I think the number one question that general aviation pilots should be asking is, why are their systems not being restored? Why is there delayed restoration? Why are they not provided the same navigational communication facilities today that they enjoyed 5-10 years ago? Why is the agency not spending money on general aviation?
Okay, good one.
As a taxpayer, as well as all the general aviation pilots and the people in the general aviation business, I guess the basic question of Congress is, with all this restructure and this modernization that we're undergoing under private contract, are we actually saving any money, or is it going to cost us more in the long run? I personally, going to cost us more in the long run. Ask your congressman, look into it. It's your money.
So the United States currently operates the largest and safest national airspace system in the world. My question would be, why do you want to privatize it? Why do you want to fool with it when it works?
In other words, if it isn't quite broke, why fix it?
Exactly.
Well, folks, you've heard it here. We're going to take a look at this over the next few weeks and months. In the meantime, good questions. Think about them. Take them to your elected officials. Take them to your representatives and in your dealings with the FAA. Let's see what they have to say. For Aero News and for Aero TV, I'm Jim Campbell.
You'll find video of today's feature in the archives at aero-news.net. Jim Campbell's guests have been past National Assistant Kathleen Carpenter, National Legislative Committee Chair Mark Dunlap, and New Haven past Representative Joe LaFaber. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.